Now let's open our Bibles then, Romans chapter 15, and reading again those verses from last week, that is from verse 1 down to verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and the first 13 verses of the chapter. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also hath received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this chapter 15 of Paul's epistle to the Romans that we began to look at last week, we said that Paul is continuing to deal with the same issue that has occupied the whole of the preceding chapter of the epistle. That issue, of course, you remember, is the issue of how two groups of people within the Church of Christ in the city of Rome in those days were to learn to live the one toward the other in the way that they should. One group is referred to as being weak in faith, and that is an account of some scruples of conscience that they had with regards to eating certain foods or observing certain days which belong to the Old Testament ceremonial laws of the children of Israel. And the other group are to be looked upon as being strong in that they have come into that liberty in the gospel of Christ, as you would say, where they see themselves as under no such rules and no such regulations for their life. The Lord's Apostle speaks to the one group and he speaks to the other group throughout the course of that preceding chapter of the epistle. And then, as I say, coming into this present chapter of the epistle, chapter 15, he goes on to say, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, and so on. Now, as we've looked at all of that issue of that day, of course, as we've seen, I trust, there is so much by way of application, by principle, indeed by practice, that applies to us today. And indeed, for all the days in which the Church of Christ will be left in the world, the Lord's people are to learn to live the one toward the other in the way that we should. Well, as the Lord's Apostle now does continue with the issue, as he comes into this chapter 15 of the Epistle, as we have it in our English Bibles, in what way does he undertake to continue with that issue? And he does it very simply, you remember from last time, by pointing us up to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And so we looked at something of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ for us in all things, and then in these two particular things that this part of the Word of God brings before us. Those two things, you remember, are learning to bear with the infirmities of others and learning to please others instead of pleasing ourselves. And in each of those two matters, indeed, those two exercises, the supreme example is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. On the pages of the Gospel, as we saw over and over again, we're shown Christ patiently bearing with the infirmities of those who were his disciples in those days. And then, of course, if we are prepared to look into our own hearts and our own lives, then we should know the many, many times in which Christ has borne with us in our infirmities, those times when indeed, if it were possible to do that in that sense, we must have tried the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ to the very extreme. And then as it comes to the other lesson that we are to learn out of the example of Christ as the Lord's apostle, goes away back into the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God to assure us that even before Christ came into this world of ours to be our Saviour, the issue of our salvation and how he would obtain it was already settled. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And the apostle, as we saw, is quoting, of course, from the 69th Psalm of David. And as you read through the whole of that psalm, all that Christ undertook to endure, all of the picture, the demonstration of the one indeed who pleased not himself as he did come into the world to be our Redeemer. So the Lord's apostle is urging those people, all believers indeed, to live one toward the other in the way that we should, not in the way that we would, but in the way that we should. And so ultimately now, you see, as he comes into this chapter, he points us up to the example of Christ, the supreme example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, having referred to that particular part of the Word of God, the 69th Psalm of David, out of which we are to learn something with regards to the example of Christ, the Lord's Apostle goes on to tell us something that is of vital importance to us, to each and every one of our hearts and minds, namely that all of the Old Testament scriptures of God were written for our learning. We're not only to learn out of the 69th Psalm some of the things that we are to learn with regards to Christ our Saviour, but indeed the whole of the Old Testament scriptures of God were given for that self-same purpose. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And in that verse, my friends, you have one of the great statements of the Word of God concerning the Word of God, and something that we are to hold to our hearts and souls concerning the whole of the Word of God from beginning to end. It stands in a sense almost in its own right as it tells us something that we need to know and understand and remember all the days of our life, that God has given us a total Bible, and with regards to the Old Testament scriptures of God, then indeed they were written for a purpose under God, and that purpose we are to take up and employ in the course of our living. Well, it's something of that. And seeing, of course, we are still within the realms of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, nowhere better to start than how Christ used the Word of God in the course of his life. Indeed, how he related that word to himself, but also how he used it both for himself and pressed up the use of it to others as well. Now, if you remember those verses, indeed, if you want to turn to them in John chapter 5, just to refresh our hearts and our souls, And in John chapter 5, where our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to some scribes and Pharisees, in verse 39 of that chapter, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are these which testify of me, and ye will not come unto thee, me, that ye might have life." And then he goes on in verse 46, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Now, those are tremendous statements from the lips of our Savior. And he takes up, as it were, the totality of the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God from Genesis to Malachi. And he says, "These are they that testify of me." From beginning to end, Christ says the Old Testament is speaking of him. And then as he narrows that down to the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he says, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Moses wrote of me. And as our Lord says those words to those people, my friends, what tremendous claim Christ is making. He's standing there amongst the people of that day. He would be indistinguishable. As far as his outward appearance and his dress were concerned, he would have been indistinguishable. He stood in the midst of them. Not one leader of the Jewish nation up to that point had believed in him. Not even his own family members had believed in him, his brothers and his sisters. And yet he stands there, as it were, with the whole of the scriptures in his hands, and he says, "These scriptures are they which testify of me." And then narrowing that down, as I say, Moses wrote of me. The Pharisees, of course, prided themselves in that they were expert in the law of the Lord, in the books of Moses, in all the scriptures, but especially in the Old Testament law of God that Moses had been given to write. And so our Lord comes to that, especially before those people. But as I say, when our Savior spoke those words, what tremendous claim it was that he was making. And like all the claims of Christ, my friends, either we take those claims seriously or we don't. Either Christ was everything that he claimed to be, or he was nothing at all. At worst, he was the greatest deceiver that ever walked the face of this earth of ours, and at best, he was self-deceived and not to be listened to at all. But he makes this tremendous claim. "These are they which testify of me." Moses wrote of me. But then it's more than a claim that Christ is making. At least there's something more than a claim for us. He's not only making a claim with regards to the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God, he's giving each and every one of us a clue as to how we should read the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God. And anyone who reads the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God and doesn't see Moses writing about Christ, they're not seeing anything in the Old Testament scriptures. Or if they don't take the whole of the Old Testament scriptures and don't see them testifying to Christ over and over again, they're not reading the scriptures aright. And when our Lord speaks those words, as I say, it is a claim that he's making. But he's giving us a key to open up the Old Testament Bible to our hearts and to our souls. You may remember that old illustration. It's an old illustration, but I can't think of a better one. And it comes from one of those paintings or one of those pictures where the artist has concealed a face within the picture, within the landscape or whatever the picture might be, the countryside or the hills and the rivers and so on. But painted into the picture, you see, the artist in all his ingenuity has set a face, which you could never know. Would never know that the face was there unless the artist told you that it was there. And as you look at the picture, and we've all done it, and you look at the picture, and you look at the picture, gradually the face emerges out of the picture. And you see what it was that the artist was saying. Now, in that sense, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ is pointing us up to see himself in the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures, if you like, that's the landscape. Christ himself is the artist, and he has painted himself into the picture. And he's saying to us, my friends, are you looking? Do you look? Do you see me? For these are they which testify of me. And once a person grasps the Saviour's words aright, well, I'll tell you this, they never read the Old Testament scriptures again in the way that they had read them before. And when we learn what the Saviour is saying, Moses wrote of me, then he is relating the Old Testament scriptures to himself and himself to the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God, and that is something that is vital to our hearts and minds. Now then, Christ not only referred to the Old Testament scriptures in relation to himself, but he used the things that were written aforetime. And that's the all-important thing, of course, when it comes to these words that the Apostle Paul sets before us in Romans. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. They were written, he says, for a purpose. They were given to us to be used, and no one more than our Lord Jesus Christ used the Old Testament scriptures for the purpose to which they were given. As soon as he had set his hand to the work of our salvation, you remember, in his conflict with the old serpent, the devil, in the wilderness, where did Christ go? But to the things that were written aforetime. And as you know well, out of the book of Deuteronomy alone, three times over, he repels the devil with that word, "It is written." Do you want me to turn these stones into bread? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Do you want me to cast myself down from the pinnacle of the temple? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Do you want me to bow down and worship you? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And when Christ set about doing the will of God, he did it in accordance with the Word of God, the written Word of God, in all his performing of the will of God that God had given him to accomplish. And thereafter, of course, all you have to do, and do it, please do these things constantly, each and all of us, read through the earthly life of the Saviour, and constantly and continuously, Christ was reaching back into the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God to the things that were written aforetime. When he felt that he wanted to justify his action in casting the money changers and so forth out of the temple in Jerusalem, he says, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves. When he was tempted by the lawyer as to how he might inherit eternal life, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And when the Jews refused to receive him, and he warned them that the vineyard was going to be taken, the kingdom was going to be taken from them and given to another, and he said unto them, what is this then that is written, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Over and over and over and over again, Christ was forever saying, it is written, forever referring back to the things that were written aforetime. And you think of what was to befall Christ, indeed what befell Christ in his darkest hours. And he turned to the things that were written aforetime. In relation to that betrayal by Judas Iscariot, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. He wasn't overtaken, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. In relation to the death of the cross, for I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished, he was numbered among the transgressors. Or earlier on in the upper room, but this cometh to pass, he says, that the word might be fulfilled that is written, they hated me without a cause. That's the 69th Psalm. In fact, the Psalm most quoted by our Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And even in relation to his dear forerunner, John the Baptist, you remember, when they put him to death. But I say unto you that Elijah, John the Baptist, is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. You see, in all the circumstances of life that he had come to live, and the death that he had come to die for us, our Lord Jesus Christ was always referring to the things that were written aforetime. And when the Lord's apostle points us to the things that were written aforetime, then we have the supreme example in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as he was forever turning to those things in relation to himself and for himself, he was always pressing his disciples to do the very exact same thing. Scenes you know well enough, but sometimes the danger is we know things so well that we forget to have them as we ought to have them. And on the road to Emmaus, and those two, you remember, now they were disconsolate and cast down for one reason. Because they had failed to see the things that were written aforetime. That's what their problem was. And as our Lord turns then and rebukes them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And in the upper room later on that night, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Thus it is written, it behoved Christ to suffer and rise the third day. These are the words which I spake unto you, exact same words, while I was yet with you. But they didn't grab what he was saying. That's the point. But then by the grace of God, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as John looks back to that time when they were in the upper room, then he's able to say, these things understood they not at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him. Or you get the church in the Acts of the Apostles when John and Peter have been released by the Sanhedrin and they come back to the gathering of the church in Jerusalem and they tell them what had happened, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things, and so on. The church had come of age. And one of the signs that the church had come of age was contained in the fact that they could look back and see all the things that were written aforetime. And out of the remembrance of the things that had been written aforetime, now, you see, they were able to persevere and press on and stand firm in the midst of all. Those were bad persecutions, but where they went to were to the things that were written aforetime. And it's that practice, my friends, that procedure of learning from the things that God has given to us in his written word, in this case, in the Old Testament scriptures of the written word of God. It's this practice, this procedure that we are to see to. And in our seeing to it, we have the example of Christ, and we have the example of those who followed the example of Christ in their life. Now, that's not the end of the matter, of course. And if you look at the verse again, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Where would you begin and end with a word such as that? And you see, it's almost a dilemma that the Lord's Apostle has as he turns us to these particular words of God. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, he says, were written for our learning. Now, Paul doesn't say, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning. Paul isn't like that, my friend. And constantly throughout the pages of the Scriptures, the Lord's Apostle is always including himself when it comes to the life of faith. And when you think of Paul including himself and saying, these things are written for our learning, what a word to any one of us if we ever even come near the point of thinking we have learned enough. And even in this epistle, all the things that Paul has reached back into the Old Testament for, when he wants to establish the fact that the gospel was always and ever the gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ alone, it goes away back to Abraham. What did the Scripture say to Abraham or of Abraham? Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He takes up the case of David, the man indeed blessed in knowing that his sins are freely forgiven. And he's always going back when he wants to show that the gospel was always for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. It goes away back to the prophecy of Joel that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When he wants to show us and explain what the gospel is, he goes away back to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. The gospel doesn't say ascend up or descend down. It says, no, the word of faith is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mind. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Goes back to Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah. He takes up the Psalms. He tells us what the Psalms are all about. And what he has already done, he's going to continue to do. Even in this very chapter 15 of the epistle. You see in verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. It is written, over and over and over again, the Lord's Apostle takes us back to what is written. And yet he's the man who can still say that all the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. For our learning. And whether believers or unbelievers, there is the wholeness of the Scriptures of God already given. And we're to never leave off learning. Never ever be anything other than a disciple, a learner of Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, the point of the apostles' words, of course, are these. That it's learning to live in the light of what we learn out of the Old Testament Scriptures. And as you'll know, a man or a woman or a young person can know the Scriptures of God inside out, but unless we learn to apply the Scriptures of God in the things of our life by principle, practice, precept, promise, whatever, we don't really know or haven't really known the Scriptures as we ought to do. When you read about Nebuchadnezzar throwing the Hebrew children into the fiery furnace, my friends, now, we're not only to learn that, we're to learn from that. And surely we're to learn, my friends, that in all the furnaces of life that come upon us, God can either deliver us out of the furnace or preserve us in the furnace. Indeed, if he chooses, he may do neither, but he is still our God. It's not knowing the incident, it's knowing what the incident is meant to tell us with regards to our life of faith here below. The Old Testament Scriptures, Paul is telling us, have been given for a purpose. Indeed, for endless purposes in the course of our life. In the first epistle to the Corinthians, you remember, you've got, well, the same theme, but with a bit of a variation. As he speaks about how the children of Israel came through the Red Sea at the hand of Moses and along the wilderness. But he says, you remember that that generation perished in their sins. Now he says, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Have a look and see what happened to those people and learn, because they're written for our learning. In this case, for our admonition. If you're unconverted, my friend, you take up the gospel at some point and look at the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the many, many times when Christ went away back into the Old Testament Scriptures of the Word of God in applying the warnings of the gospel to men and women's hearts and souls. As it was in the days of Noah, he said, so shall it be. In the days of the coming of the Son of Man, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and swept them all away. That's how Christ preached. And over again he says, as it was, so it shall be. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. That woman who was given a way of escape and deliverance from Sodom and Gomorrah. But she didn't take it. And she turned back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't only read about her. Remember her. Remember her. And Christ, my friends, preached like that and taught like that and ministered like that. Use your Bible. That's what the word's saying to us. Use all of your Bible. Use it from beginning to end, and surely, if there is one sin that has beset the people of God today, it's the ill use or the non-use of the word of the living God. And here's a word surely to encourage us to use our Bible and all of our Bible. Not enough to know that Christ used it, all that was written beforehand, but we're to follow Christ's example. And as I say, those who followed our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week, We spoke about Christ in the upper room with regards to bearing with one another and so forth. And that example, you remember, where Christ took the towel, girded himself, washed the disciples' feet. And he says, now I've given you an example that ye should do unto one another what I have done to you. He doesn't finish there. Then he goes on to say, if ye know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. And it's not knowing. No, that means little or nothing. It's not knowing the things that were written aforetime. It's using the things that were written aforetime. And you see, as the Lord's Apostle puts it, therefore, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Now, you'll not have the hope unless you use what was written aforetime. They were written that we might have hope and all the other things. But if we don't use them, we won't have the hope to that degree that we may have the hope. And the many, many demonstrations, one of the most telling, I suppose, is when Paul writes to the Hebrews. You remember how he reached away back? He's telling them how to live from day to day. And he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, he's going back to Joshua. He's going back to those words that God gave to Joshua when Joshua was taking the children of Israel over the Red Sea and into the land of Canaan. But then he doesn't only say, I know what God said to Joshua. He said, I know how to use what God says to Joshua. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's a lesson in learning how to use the things written aforetime. Did God say that to his servant Joshua? Well, says Paul, I can take that up as a servant of the selfsame God. And any servant of the selfsame God can take up that thing which was written aforetime. That's how we're meant to use the Scriptures, the word of the living God. In that same epistle to the Hebrews, as you know, at the end of chapter 10, we're told the justified shall live by faith. That's a great precept, great commandment. But the Holy Spirit of God doesn't leave it there. Then he gives us all the examples of those who did that very thing. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and David and Samuel and Moses and those that were sawn asunder and were tempted. All these show us what it is to live by faith. And out of seeing how they live by faith, then indeed we learn how to live by faith. The Apostle James says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. The prophets. And so you take up Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. And here are examples written aforetime as to how we are to be patient in the midst of all. You see, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And Paul is telling us, you see, how to live in the light of the wholeness of the Word of God. They were written aforetime for our learning. But we really never have learnt anything until we do the things that we say we have learned. That we, through patience and comfort of those Scriptures, might have hope. In our day of blessing, we've got the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. We've got all the fullness of the Word of God. But that in no way, my friends, means that we set aside the things that were written aforetime. When Paul speaks of having hope, he's speaking, of course, about the eternal hope, the hope that is set before us, eternal, everlasting life. And that hope that's going to come on the morning of the resurrection of the dead. Have you ever read how Paul establishes that fact to our hearts and our souls? He says, so when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he goes away back to Isaiah. And he says, here's what God said aforetime with regards to our victory over death and hell and the grave in Jesus Christ the Saviour, that it might come to pass, the saying that is written, O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? These are they that testify of me. In reality, we shouldn't need to go any further than that as a motivation for reading all these things which testify of Christ. And yet we can go further, because he not only spoke of these Old Testament scriptures in relation to himself, but he used them for himself. And what an example. What a challenge to each and every one of our hearts, my friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ, in all the assaults of the devil, in all his conflicts, in his preaching, in his directing, in his exhorting of others, he took the written word and he used it. And may God give us grace to do the self same thing. All the example of Christ that we have, as we saw last time, in all things, and certainly in this thing, with regards to the word of the living God that has been granted to us for our life of faith here below. Amen.